515-603-3144 and enter 89571 pound when prompted for the access code. We would really like you to mute your phone if possible. On our last meeting, some people were not able to mute their phone, and while the sounds of the birds in the background were kind of nice, it did make it hard for us to hear each other. So if you can mute your phone, please do. Audio recordings of all board meetings will be posted on our website, www.storycountyiowa.gov, after the meeting is concluded. You may access these recordings at any time by clicking on the Meetings and Agendas button on the home page. Tonight we have over 100 lines, or we have 100 lines that can be used, so we should not have any problems with people calling in, I hope. When we are open discussion to the audience, we're going to limit people who speak to 2 minutes, okay? This is the same type of thing we did when we had our previous meeting on Monday. Okay, so first thing I need to do is I need to approve our agenda, and I need a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Okay, John Kluge, do I have a second?
Second, Louisa.
Okay, second. Okay, any further discussion on the approval of the agenda? Okay, I call for a vote. John Kluge?
Aye.
Molly?
Aye.
Louisa?
Aye.
Mark? Mark?
Aye.
Mark Speck? Oh, my, good,
aye.
Thank you. And John Passion, aye. Okay, public forum. This is a time for members of the public to offer comments concerning matters not scheduled to be heard before the Board of Health. Does anyone wish to speak? Okay. Does anyone who's in the audience in the public wish to identify themselves as also someone who's present?
Les White, Story County Public Health.
Thank you.
Deb Shildrock, City of Ames.
Thank you.
Erin Anderson, Boys and Girls Clubs of Story County.
Ethan Anderson, Story County Attorney's Office.
Thank you, thank you.
Catherine Keeley, Iowa State Daily.
Okay. Okay. All right, very good. Okay, so I'd like to kind of outline how I would like to run this meeting and make sure that everyone's aware of what this meeting is. Last Monday, we worked on guidelines, and it was kind of a working meeting, and we made some changes to these guidelines. We are now going to finish the kind of almost a final read of the guidelines, and then I hope to put it up for a vote to the Board of Health. What I would like to do is I would like to read the guidelines in their entirety and then open it up to the Board of Health to see if they have anything else we need to add. And then after that, then I would like to open up to the public to see if they have anything that they would like to discuss. And then after those discussions, then I would like to call for a vote. Are you guys in the Board of Health? Are you okay with that plan?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Thank you.
Point of information, Dr. Passion, are you willing to entertain comments point by point as we go along, or do you want public comments deferred till the end?
I would like, thank you for asking that question. I would like public comments to be referred to the end, and just purely because I want the Board of Health to speak and see if they want to make any big changes. And this is a point that I don't know, and I might want to ask Lisa Heddens, if we make changes to this document, even if they're minor, we can still approve it, correct?
You might want to ask the attorney, but that would be my understanding. If they're just minor ones, you could approve with those corrections. Ethan, you might want Ethan, you might want to answer that just to make sure.
Okay.
Yes, I agree. I agree, Lisa. You can make the edits to this and approve it tonight.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
John.
Yeah.
John, this is Mark. Mark Speck.
Yeah.
Before we vote on this, can we hear from Ethan?
Yes, absolutely. I think that's very reasonable.
Thank you.
And then I also want to let people know in the audience that we've been receiving emails on this subject, and we have read them all. Okay? All right. So I'm sorry. I know my voice is not the nicest voice to be heard, but I think it's important that we read the full document. COVID-19 mitigation guidance within Story County, recommendations from the Story County Board of Health. With the current surge of COVID-19 that the county is experiencing, as well as the anticipation of the return of university students from all over the country, it is important that everyone in the county should continue to practice mitigation to prevent the spread of COVID-19. We recommend the following based on published standards and guidance from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, and the Iowa Department of Public Health, IDPH, as well as Common Sense. Detailed guidance from these entities are available and should be followed. The below information is to share minimum guidelines that emphasize key points important in our community. Anyone reading this will notice the emphasis on wearing face coverings. We cannot emphasize enough the importance of wearing properly fitted face coverings, including cloth face coverings and face shields worn over the nose and mouth when out in public or around people. Surgical grade masks and N95 respirators are also effective, but should be reserved for healthcare workers and other medical first responders. Individuals who should not wear face coverings include children under the age of 2 or anyone who has trouble breathing or is unable to remove the face covering without assistance. Number 1, daycare. Face coverings in young children are hard to keep on and not recommended by the CDC for children under 2 years of age. However, face covering should be worn by all providers of care as well as staff and others occupying the daycare space, such as parents. Hand cleansing stations should be plentiful and frequently used. Children should be kept in as small groups as possible, and the group should not mix at playtime, outings, and lunch. Temperature screens of all entering children, staff, and individuals entering with a contactless thermometer is highly recommended. We recommend this guidance for both institutional and small in-home daycares. Number 2, pre-K to 12 schools. When schools resume in the fall, we are assuming guidelines for mitigation of spread of COVID-19 will be forthcoming from the Department of Education. To supplement these guidelines, we recommend the following minimum measures. All staff should be required to wear face coverings at all times when they are around students or other staff. Face coverings should be considered on students as applicable. Social distancing in classes, minimizing classroom changes, staggered lunches and recesses, as well as temperature screening should be followed. Hand cleansing should be frequently practiced and encouraged. Number 3, events, gatherings, and religious services. Social distancing, at least 6 feet or about 2 arms length, should be practiced. People who have already been in contact with each other and feel comfortable that they are all practicing social isolation, such as families, can be grouped together. Groups less than 10 are recommended. Face covering should be required for all present. Hand cleansing stations should be plentiful and encouraged to be used. We recommend individually prepackaged foods rather than communal foods. We recommend that the event organizers make sure mitigation measures, such as use of face coverings, continue to be practiced after the event. Temperature screening should be implemented when feasible. Sporting events and athletic teams. While we understand that wearing a face covering during the strenuous activity of sports may be very difficult, at a minimum, all coaching, official, support staff, spectators, and athletes who are not playing should wear a face covering at all times while other people are present. Sporting events should practice social distancing for spectators as well as athletes when they're not playing. Screening of athletes and staff daily with a contactless thermometer is indicated. Group meetings and or meals should be put on hold at this time, and remote meetings should be used. Exercise sessions such as weightlifting and or swimming should be staggered to allow social distancing. Restrooms should be monitored to limit crowding. Concession stands should be closed. Iowa State University. Detailed guidance from Iowa State University is available and should be followed. To supplement these guidelines and emphasize key points, we recommend the following minimum measures. Face covering should be required for all students in classes and when in university buildings. University-sponsored gatherings should be canceled unless the recommended practices, see events gatherings, and sports events above, can be followed. Hand cleansing stations should be plentiful and encouraged. Students should be encouraged in the strongest language the university can legally use to practice mitigation principles when off campus and when using mass transit. Group living situations such as dormitories and fraternities, sororities are a special and difficult situation. However, certain practices can be used to mitigate risks. Face covering should be worn at all times except when in sleeping chambers with roommates. Dining should be staggered to allow social distancing. Hand cleansing should be encouraged. Social events should be canceled unless the principles outlined in events, gatherings, and or sports events, as above, as applicable, can be followed. All group living situations need to develop a plan of how to isolate a resident who is found to be COVID-19 infected. We strongly recommend that Iowa State University prohibit spectators at sporting events this fall. Please only broadcast them. We cannot think of any way these events can be made even remotely safe with the masses of people from throughout Iowa and other states who routinely attend these events. Please do it for the health of our community. Number six, shared or congregate housing facilities. These facilities should continue to follow published CDC guidelines. Businesses should require their staff to wear face coverings, practice social distancing when possible. We also strongly encourage businesses to require their customers wear face coverings. Sick employees should be allowed to stay home. Okay, in conclusion, with the current rises in cases in Story County, we strongly recommend these guidelines are followed. We fully understand that what we are proposing is difficult, and also that no mitigation plan is foolproof. However, if these principles are followed, we can get and keep this virus under control until the availability of a vaccine. As a County Board of Health, our duties include the protection of public health of the residents of Story County. Thus, our recommendations are made in light of what is best for the public's health, and we stand by our recommendations. Okay, so that is the guideline in its entirety. So I'd like it to open up to the Board of Health members, including our ex officio board member, about any type of changes you would like to see or anything you'd like to change in this document before we finally approve it.
Okay.
Louisa, I know you had a couple things you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, just a few, and I'll start. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to read this before it was put on the agenda. So I have a few comments because that the first sentence I would prefer if it would say COVID-19 mitigation guidance for Story County. Would that work? Does it make a big difference?
Sure. I think that's kind of semantics, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me know, and please, other Board of Health members, if you have any objections to any of changes like this, please perk up. So, 4. Okay.
All right. Another thing of semantics. Line 10, below in the first paragraph, instead of the below information, I would prefer the information below.
Okay.
To me, it makes a difference.
Okay. No. I'm not saying anything. Okay. Information below. Tell me where that is again.
Dr. Passion, I can make edits as we go.
Okay.
If you'd like.
Sure. Alrighty. But I want to know what they are, because.
Sure.
Edits below. Edits below.
Okay. It's below the. Okay.
Part is it in the first paragraph?
IDPA down below. Details, guidance from these entities are available and should be followed. The information below. You see what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Were you like an English instructor? It's a joke. I'm just kidding. I wondered if you were an English instructor.
No, but I have to go through lots of grants and manuscripts for journals.
Very good.
And then really the major thing that I indicated in an email to the board was number 4. And it is in the first sentence, while we understand that wearing a face covering due to strenuous activity or sports may be very difficult at a minimum, etc. So I have been reading quite a few articles on wearing face covering during strenuous activity. And I have emailed you all the references that Molly asked for when I brought this up earlier in an email, that some health professionals recommend not wearing face coverings during strenuous activity. Others will say one has to monitor him or herself if one gets lightheaded, dizzy, or faint, or feels like fainting. So I would like to slightly change that sentence. Maybe you can come up with something that would sound better if you so feel.
Okay. Well, you know, it's interesting that you bring that up, and I appreciate your passing on that those articles, and I was aware of those myself. But the sentence to me gives kind of a lot of leeway, you know, of that, you know, and I think we have to understand that since these are recommendations for people,
right,
and that we're not talking about something that is going to be enforced. You know, these are like guidelines, okay? These are for people to look at these guidelines and say, well, okay, they say that we don't have to wear a face mask during strenuous activity. Okay, but they do say that the coaches and officials should wear it.
Right.
Okay?
All right.
So your point is very well taken. And I think it is very correct, but I kind of think that this document kind of does that.
Okay.
Especially the way that Molly fixed it. So.
All right.
Okay.
That's good.
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
One more point,
please.
Under number 5. Since Iowa State has come out with new guidelines just in the last day,
right,
is it possible to make a to write a sentence that said that the board concurs with the guidelines from ISU rather than tell them that's what we suggest they should do.
Wait, say that again.
Okay. Iowa State University has come out with new guidelines just within the last 24, 48 hours.
Right.
And they're very specific.
Yep.
And we could say, rather than tell them students should be encouraged, well, no, that's not the one. We recommend the following minimum measures. Face coverings should be required for all students. Well, Iowa State has come out with
right.
all those recommendations. And I thought maybe to recognize that we know they have done that, to say that the board concurs with the guidelines from Iowa State, and I mean, add something like that.
Right. I see exactly what you're saying, and I agree with you. I applaud the fact that Iowa State has now come out with these guidelines that we have been putting out there. But I also think it's important for us to understand that if Iowa State changes their mind for some reason, that these guidelines will still hold. So I kind of think the way that Molly corrected this gives the basically states that we feel that the guidelines, you know, the detailed guidelines from Iowa State University are available and should be followed. And that if their guidelines for some reason are not what we want to do and ours are more, we feel that we should supplement these guidelines or that we should supplement the guidelines that are already in place. Iowa State's guidelines are very detailed about what they're going to do with classrooms and learning and things like internet learning,
lectures,
things like
lectures.
That. Yeah, lectures and stuff. And we don't want to get into that. And again, and as we said through many of this, many of this stuff is minimum. And so, yeah, but I actually think the way that, you know, Molly fixed this, I think this actually kind of says, yeah, we acknowledge that they've got their guidelines.
Okay.
Okay.
Dr. Passion, actually, I was just going to say, Dr. Passion, this is Lisa. I was just going to say, you do emphasize in that first sentence that detailed guidance from Iowa State University is available and should be followed. That's right in that first sentence. So
yeah,
you,
right. So,
okay.
so
that's
yeah.
sufficient. Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Okay.
Okay. And right. It's the same for number seven. The Ames City Council has come out also with recommendations, but I guess it would be the same. It would apply similarly
yeah.
there.
Same type of thing. Same type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, if everyone decides to follow all these recommendations, I would be thrilled. And if they did more, I would be thrilled.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
these are like the minimums, and it's
yeah.
and even whether they did or not, it's still our recommendations.
Yeah. So the only reason I brought this up is that we are aware that Iowa State has come up with detailed procedures and guidelines, and also the City of Ames City Council has made recommendations to similarly for businesses.
Right, and you know, and I'm sure that I have not been able to read the Ames. I did read the Iowa State things. I haven't read the Ames City Council guidelines yet, but I think our recommendations will still stand.
Okay.
Okay.
That's fine. Good.
Great. Okay.
I'm good.
Thank you. By the way, Louise, sharp eye. Okay. Great. Okay. All right. Does anyone else from the Board of Health wish to make any changes or anything?
This is Molly. I have a couple minor things. There are a few things which I don't think I need to spell out for everybody where I missed typing an S or an AND or something like that in here. So I just wanted to point that out, that there's just a couple very minor edits, typo-type things. But then under number three, events, gatherings, and religious services, in the last sentence, I would like to add, or the second to last sentence, sorry, we recommend that if the event organizers make sure, or sorry, we recommend that the event organizers make sure mitigation measures such as use of face coverings continue to be practiced after the event. And I would like to add, if participants continue to congregate in the area. I don't think it's reasonable to request event organizers make sure everybody continue to follow practices after the event without that qualifier.
You know what? That's a very good point. As I read that for about the fourth time today, I kind of realized that after the event means that they would be following them out to their homes and making sure that they practice face coverings. So you're absolutely right. So such as use of face coverings continue to be practiced after the event if participants continue to congregate?
Congregate in the area. Yep.
Got it. Okay. I'm good with that. I think that makes that a little bit clearer. So very good.
Okay. And then right after that, we mentioned contactless temperature screening whenever we mentioned temperature screening except for in this location. So I would like to propose adding contactless at the beginning of that very next sentence.
Okay. All right. Very good.
And then lastly, at the very end of number four, we mentioned hand cleansing under every other point for the numbered points, except for under number four. So I proposed adding a sentence at the end of that section saying hand cleansing should be frequently practiced and encouraged.
Okay. Very good.
And that's it for me.
Dr. Passion.
Dr. Kluge, do you have anything you wish to add?
No, I just wondered if we should have, are there other areas that we should be checking temperatures when people come in?
Mike, what do you mean?
Well, you're doing it at the clinic, at the hospital probably. Are there any other situations in daycare? I just raised the question. I don't.
Yeah, it's always a difficult, you know. I don't think it's feasible that every business checks a temperature before a person comes into their store. And most of the time, I personally think that checking temperatures are where people are going to be there for a while. And because that's going to be, I think that's going to be kind of the biggest thing. Like if someone's going to just come in and get something and go out, I don't think they need their temperature necessarily screened. But I do think that if they're going to be sticking around for an hour or hour and a half, they probably should.
So
one of the things we've kind of left out of these guidelines are bars and restaurants. And though there are many specific guidelines that are out there for bars and restaurants, and I think that that may be something that if we feel that is something that we like to do, we might need to come back with that to talk specifically about that. And in the meantime, I think just the simple aspect of making sure their staff and customers, whenever possible, wear face coverings, I think is where a good place to stand at this point.
Okay. I applaud people over in Campus Town particularly that are closing again because they realize what happened over there. So
I agree. Okay.
And that would, this is Louisa, that would be under businesses then. I think the right. city council has addressed that as well.
Good.
Okay.
Good. Great. Okay. All right. So, Mark, do you have any additions?
I have nothing. No.
Okay. Very good. Okay. So, before I open this up to anyone who wishes to make comments or additions, I would like to thank Molly Lee for cleaning up this guideline. I think she really did an exceptional job. We had a lot of discussion the first night on Monday, and she included everything that we agreed on. As I looked through my notes, I was pretty amazed. And Molly, I want to thank you again publicly. Okay? All right.
So now I'd like to open up the floor to people who would like to discuss these guidelines for us.
Hi. My name is Brady Howe, and I would like to discuss. I have three questions that I'd like to present.
Sure.
My first question is just that you received some emails today and that you read them all, and I'd like to know how many emails you read and received and how many were in favor of your plan and how many were against your plan.
I think we got about 10. Does that sound about right, Stephanie?
I think it was probably more than 10. It was several all throughout the entire day, and even some later in the night, last night, a couple.
Okay, because I just read them as they kind of came up.
I'm guessing it was at least 15.
I know at least 20 that were sent today that were opposed to your plan. So my question stands, how many were in favor of what you're presenting and how many were opposed?
That emailed today? Or that he has emailed us during this time that we've been working on this?
Well, my question, I guess, would be today specifically, since I know at least 20 emails were sent to you today. So out of those 20 or more, how many of those were in favor of what you're proposing and how many were opposed?
None.
None what?
No, were in favor. They all didn't want us to approve they didn't want us to make the guidelines and the recommendations that people wear face coverings.
And can you comment on how many you received today?
I think we already did that. It was about 20. That's what the final number we figured, right? Isn't that right, Seth?
No, you said 10, and I said I know of at least 20. So I'd like the correct number, please.
I said there was at least 15. This is Stephanie, but I did not count. There was a lot today, though. But I'm not really willing to put a number on it because I wasn't counting. But I was forwarding them all to you as I received them all throughout the day.
Okay, and we would be more than happy to give you a final count if you'd like to at some time.
I would like that, please. Can you tell me what date I would receive that by?
Sure. I think, Stephanie, we should be able to get that by tomorrow.
Yeah. Were you one of the ones that contacted me today?
I was one of them, yeah.
Okay. What was your name again?
Brandy Howe.
Okay. So I have your email address. I will, in the morning, I will send you an email with the number that we received today.
Okay. Great.
Thank you. Question number two, Dr. Passion, you stated that you think that taking a temperature would only be necessary if crowds were going to be together for an hour or an hour and a half, and that seems like it seems like a pretty arbitrary number, not pulled out of any scientific data. Can you explain how you are choosing that number? Because it concerns me if you're choosing one arbitrary number that everything else you're basing your recommendations are arbitrary.
Well, I'm sorry you feel that they're arbitrary. These are based on published guidelines from the Centers for Disease Control. I was using an example, and that's all it was. It was just an example. And the time is not mentioned at all in any of our guidelines.
You just stated an hour to an hour and a half, and now you're telling me that you're pulling data from the Center for Disease Control, and so
there is no mention of time in our guidelines. There is no mention of times in our guidelines.
There was a mention on your call tonight that said if people were gathering for an hour to an hour and a half or more, they should have their temperature taken.
Okay. Right. That's not in the guidelines. It was my example.
Okay.
Sorry if you misinterpreted it.
I did not misinterpret. My question is, it feels like that was an arbitrary comment, and how many more of your recommendations are arbitrary? My third question is, you're recommending face masks for businesses, schools, teachers, coaches. What are you recommending as far as monitoring the blood oxygen saturation level for specifically children who may not recognize when they are feeling lightheaded, weak, lethargic, when their blood oxygen saturation falls below 90%. I think 90% is actually really low. We have a test at home that we do here, and mine was 98% today. So I think 90% would be incredibly low. But what is your recommendation for measuring that for the people that have to wear these masks that you're recommending? And when it does fall below that number, what are you recommending that teachers, et cetera, do in order to quickly raise those oxygen levels?
You will notice that in these guidelines, we mentioned that keeping masks on children are somewhat difficult. And so that's why we give people an out to use their judgment. There is no guidelines that I have seen any place from the Centers for Disease Control that mentions that they should check oximeters on people who are wearing masks. We do recommend, as the Centers for Disease Control recommends, that there is that people who do have difficulty breathing not be made to wear a mask, and that is one of our first, or in our first paragraph.
As a pediatrician, I'd like to know what number you recommend as a healthy measurement for children.
For saturation?
Yes,
95% or greater.
Okay, so if our children are measuring less than that, would you drop your recommendation for masks?
Show me the data. Thank you very much. Okay, I think our 2 minutes are up. Next call, please.
Dr. Patchen, this is Stephanie. I did not get the timer set for that.
Oh, I was watching.
Yeah, okay. I was just going to suggest or ask if you want me to set my timer or not.
Well, you know what? To be fair, yes.
Okay, so I'm going to set it for 1 minute and 45 seconds, and I'll start the time after they provide their name and address. So when the timer goes off at 1 minute and 45 seconds, they'll have just that few more seconds to wrap up.
Got it.
Does that work?
Okay. Okay. Anyone else would like to discuss things?
Yeah, this is Senator Kornbach. A couple of things. Let's start with the good news, which is the letter from President Winterstein at Iowa State. I think that we should take the opportunity here in the language in these guidelines to build an alliance with Iowa State. And I understand, Dr. John, your points about not wanting to get in tied down to particular policies that they may later change, but you could make specific reference to her letter of June 24th, and specifically with regard to face coverings, that does require faculty and staff to wear face coverings when physical distancing is not possible. I would not want to endorse anything else there. The subsequent information from the athletic department does not seem to be consistent with your recommendations. By the way, overall, I like this document a whole lot. But the one area here that really needs to be addressed is pre-K to 12 schools. I don't know if you got a chance to check your email in the last hour or so before the meeting, but the Department of Ed has come out with guidelines for reopening schools this fall, and they are awful. They are awful. It's really a complete abdication of responsibility. For example, they state requiring face coverings for all staff and students is not recommended. You and I both know that the CDC has recommended face coverings. The National Education Association similarly recommends face coverings for students and staff except when eating meals. So I'm cognizant of your time limit here. I think we can go back to that then, and we need to talk a bit further about what to say. Okay. Local units are allowed some discretion here in conjunction with consulting public health, and I think that we need to address that in more detail. A couple last points. First of all, we need to have a plan for testing and tracing to follow up. Your final statement here at the end, however, these principles are followed, we can keep this virus under control, not unless we have a follow-up program. And finally, I think that these guidelines here need some follow-up effort. I think we need to launch an effort or to organize an effort with community groups to check up on the compliance of businesses, daycares, et cetera. And I think we need to make it public who is complying with your guidelines and who is not, so that consumers and parents, et cetera, can get appropriate guidance as to who to patronize and who not.
Okay. Thank you.
Did I stay under 2 minutes?
Yeah, no, you didn't, but that's okay. I understand. I think this two-minute rule, we're going to see how we do on that. Points well taken. There will be a discussion, just to let you know, about where to go from here, like we did on Monday, okay? And many of these things, I think that we may have to talk to Ethan about that, okay? Great. Thank you. Okay, next.
This is Deb Shildroth, and this is the city manager with the City of Ames. And I want to thank the Board of Health for their time and thoughtfulness for putting together this set of guidelines. I know that our city attorney is looking forward to the final version of it. I would like to clarify, though, that the City Council at this time has not adopted any sort of regulations for area businesses. There was a motion that was supported at the meeting on Tuesday evening asking for a memo from the city attorney on options that the city can take within legal limitations on the city's authority. So I think there's more to come on this, but at this point in time, we've asked our legal department to research what those options may be. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for that clarification. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Hearing no other suggestions, I will now entertain a motion for approval of our guidelines or COVID-19 mitigation guidance for Story County.
Dr. Passion, this is Lisa. Can I ask another couple of questions?
I'm sorry.
I was waiting for the other public to finish, and actually, when you went through the board earlier to provide some input, you skipped over me. So I was holding off for all the other public to do.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
I did. You know what? I did skip over you, and I apologize.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I want to make sure the public had comments on there. I just want to concur with Senator Kornbach when he just mentioned that the Department of Ed did come out with their guidelines. So maybe that first sentence, as you are looking at it, you might want to change that since the Department of Ed did come out with their guidelines.
Lisa, you know, that's a very interesting point that you bring up. But and I heard of those guidelines or the lack of guidelines that came out from the Department of Education today. But you know, though, man, people can change their mind, and we've got a little bit of time. And our guidance are supplements to anything they say. But if they don't say anything, then people can still follow what we recommend. And, you know, Iowa State, not to pick on Iowa State, because I applaud Iowa State for what they're doing in many respects, but the face coverings, they initially said that face coverings would only be encouraged. It was only recently that they came to the conclusion that face coverings will be required. And I think that just tells us that people can kind of see these guidelines and see these recommendations and make changes.
Sure. I guess my comment was, because it says when schools resume in the fall, we're assuming guidelines for mitigation will be forthcoming. They've provided something. They may revise or put in something additional. So that was just my one comment for your consideration. I do note that on there it does say face covers are in number two, that face covers should be considered on students as applicable. So there's no there you haven't mandated that for schools, but you are recognizing
we haven't mandated anything. These are guidelines.
Right. They're guidelines that you're suggesting or recommending. Right. I just wanted to point that out because I know some of the emails receiving today were regarding mandates. And then just for clarification, and I asked this on Monday, and I'm only asking this because I've gotten a few phone calls in regards to differentiating between Iowa State and like local high schools on athletics. I know you talked about this on Monday. I thought you might want to reiterate your statement there because I do know that high school, for example, football games are very well attended as well. Certainly not to the level of a university game, but just to clarify your differentiation in regards to that, so why the Board of Health is deeming that or recognizing that?
Well, that's a very good question, Lisa, and the reason that I think we should make the difference between Iowa State and a football game in a local town is because the Centers for Disease Control, under considerations for events and gatherings, places different types of gatherings at increased risk from lowest to highest. And the highest risk is what I would think would be a football game or even a basketball game at Iowa State, large in-person gatherings where it is difficult for individuals to remain spaced at least 6 feet apart and attendees travel from outside the local area. A higher risk, but not the highest risk, is medium-sized in-person gatherings that are adapted to allow individuals to remain spaced at least 6 feet apart and with attendees coming from outside the local area. But the next lowest risk is smaller outdoor and in-person gathering in which individuals from different households remain spaced at least 6 feet apart, wear cloth face coverings, do not share objects, and come from the same local area. So I feel that a football game at Ames High would be between the second highest risk and the third highest risk, someplace in between there. So they're like right in the middle. And so I think that that's why I think that it is put in a different area.
Thank you for that. My last comment is I'm not sure who brought it up, but they talked about bars and restaurants, and I do know that I've gotten a couple calls on that as well, of just recognizing bars and restaurants. They do, in my opinion, kind of fall under businesses, but I just wanted to make that point as well. And then I know that Mark had asked earlier at the beginning of the meeting about maybe if you want to have Ethan provide any information or not, and I don't know if that is still necessary, but I just wanted to remind you since Mark did mention that at the beginning of the meeting.
Okay, thank you very much.
John, this is Herman. I apologize for interrupting, but Lisa is quite correct. You really need to eliminate the reference here in point two to the Department of Ed guidelines. You claim to supplement these guidelines. You shouldn't be making that statement until you've had a chance to study the guidelines and to see whether or not what you're recommending actually is a supplement.
Well, that sounds like legalese, but it probably is correct. All right. So what do you other Board of Healthers think about that?
Yeah, this is Mark. I'd like to hear from Ethan on our enforcement involvement and where we stand on this and to expound on that.
Okay. Ethan?
Yeah, good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
So yeah, under, I think I heard a lot of language tonight that this is guidance and recommendations, and that is the truth. There is no at present enforcement mechanism to be applied. These are simply kind of in the category of please do this. As you said, Dr. Passion, imploring people to do this. These are recommendations only, and the reason for that is under Iowa Code 137-104, you know, we've kind of read this and talked about it a lot. It provides that the county board, the Board of Health here, can pass reasonable rules and regulations for the protection of the public health. And it goes on to say, not inconsistent with state law or the State Board of Health. And so when we look at this emergency proclamation that was renewed just today for another month, we see in 29C that this public health disaster emergency kind of aggregates in the governor all the authority in this area and in the Department of Public Health. That's the broad legal authority to handle this disaster emergency. So those authorities, unless she delegates them to the local authority or subdelegates to the administrative authority, the local agencies cannot act. So in this case, we are passing a rule or regulation here. We're not sending this up to the Board of Supervisors for them to have a public hearing and publish notice of this and pass a rule or regulation. That's not what's happening tonight, because that can't happen. So to answer the question of enforcement, at this point there is none of this particular recommendation or guidance.
Ethan?
Thank you, Ethan. I just want to make sure the public is aware of this and that they know where we stand, and I appreciate that, Ethan. Ethan, thank you.
So Ethan, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
If the Board of Supervisors looks at our guidelines, can they make the decision? And Lisa, maybe you could chime in on this. Can they make the decision to make these regulations? I know they have to go through certain rules to do that. Could they do that?
I know at this point, the answer is no, because that rule or regulation must be consistent with state law. And at this point, with the 29C.6 emergency declaration, that's the state law, 29C. So any rule or regulation passed in contravention of that is inconsistent, and therefore it can't be done. So no, the Board of Supervisors for Story County cannot pass this as a rule or regulation so long as the emergency declaration is in effect. Now, it's a different question, and we can save that for another night, on whether or not what the Board of Supervisors can do once the emergency management or emergency declaration is over, or lifted, rather.
Okay. Ethan, this is Lisa. Just a clarification, too. I appreciate your input there. But the board only has jurisdiction over the unincorporated areas as well. That is correct.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You're right there. I'm sorry. That was a point I forgot. Yeah. As we look at some of these different bullet points as applying to schools or religious services or daycares inside Ames city limits or Iowa State University, the board of supervisors couldn't pass the rule or regulation for that, I would imagine. But again, that's a matter that can be discussed another time. I mean, I think the focus here should be keeping us on the guidelines tonight and the recommendations. And we, the county attorney and I, are researching that. We have emails and phone calls with the attorney general's office to coordinate the effort here. And we're going to get their insight before we provide our written opinion to the Board of Health here and the Board of Supervisors.
Oof. Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. So what Lisa brought up and what Senator Kornbach brought up was in number two, pre-K to 12 schools, that we have to drop out that forthcoming from the Department of Education. And so I would propose we change that to read, when schools resume in the fall, we recommend the following measures. Molly, what do you think about that?
That sounds good to me.
Yeah, because I understand the thing about dropping out, the thing about the Department of Education.
Yeah,
I'm thinking about it differently, but yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
And Dr. Passion, just so that I'm reading that correctly, you were saying we recommend the following minimum measures, is that correct?
Yep.
Yes.
That starts there. When school resumes in the fall, we recommend the following minimum measures. Okay. All right. Okay. Any other comments or corrections from the Board of Health? Okay, so I would like to entertain a motion for approval.
So moved.
And I need a second.
Second.
As corrected.
Molly. Now we need further discussion.
Dr. Passion, are they approving as corrected?
Yes. I thank you. The guidelines the guidelines approving these as we correct it.
And Dr. Pasha, okay. I got the motion was Kluge. Who did the second?
Molly.
Okay.
Molly
thank
Lee.
You. Thank you.
Okay. Right. Okay. Any further discussion? Okay, so I'd like to call for a vote, and we'll do this by roll call. John?
Yes.
Molly?
Aye.
Louisa?
Aye.
Mark?
Aye.
And John Passion, aye. I'd like the minutes to reflect that this passed unanimously. Okay? All right, now, our next thing we have to discuss okay, we made these guidelines. Senator Kornbach has talked about getting these out there somehow. Should we get the approval or the stamp of approval from the Board of Supervisors on these guidelines? Lisa?
Again, I don't believe you need to bring it up to us. I can certainly share what you have done from the meeting. Ethan, you can certainly enter in here, but I do not believe, since they're guidelines, that you are pushing or recommending, that it does not need to come to the Board of Supervisors.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you. Okay, so what's your suggestion, Board of Healthers, about what should we do with these now?
I assume we publish them. One of the things
that have come up to me is that there are people that don't watch TV, or they don't watch the news at least, and they don't read newspapers, and we're not going to put this on a billboard. Would there be objections to the Board of Health, and would there be any legal issues if we put this out on Facebook or social media? I just thought of that.
That's appropriate.
You do?
I do.
Do you think that there will be any legal issues at all with that? I guess anyone can post anything on Facebook.
Ethan, are you still on the call?
Yeah, I think we could coordinate efforts with Leanne Harder to get this information on the Board of Health page on Story County, Iowa.
Okay. I'm kind of wondering if there's a way that we could get it out on just regular social, or, yeah. That'd be a way.
Dr. Passion, this is Stephanie. So, yes, if Leanne posts it to Story County's Facebook page, anyone can share that, I believe, from Facebook. Just share it on their own Facebook page.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Louisa. I like that idea that it is on an official web page and then let people share it.
Okay. All right.
John, this is Senator Kornbach. A couple of things. First of all, what the board has adopted tonight is a public document. All right. So you not only can you not deny anybody any access, it's in the public interest for you to distribute that as widely as possible. So Facebook, press release, all of the above should be pursued. Lisa's correct, it does not have to go to the Board of Supervisors, but I think it would certainly be advisable to have you make a presentation to the Board of Supervisors, and if they agree, they can endorse that, pass a resolution of support. The more we can present a united front in the interest of public health here, and possibly with the city councils as well, maybe the school districts, the better we can do with the university, et cetera, in presenting a united front, the more likely it is that we'll get people to comply. What you have adopted does not have the force of law, you're quite correct. So we have to move by persuasion. But if you believe in what you've done, and I think you sure should, because I think you've got a good document here, reach out to any and every group.
Okay. All right. I think those are real good ideas. Lisa, what do you think about that idea about going in front of the Board of Supervisors and asking for a stamp of approval?
I probably have to turn to Ethan because I don't know the approval. Usually it's a resolution, or it's not a rule that we're doing, so that I'm not sure that it's necessary that it has to go to the supervisors for that. Usually if there's something that we're going to do a rule or a policy for ourselves on, that's what I'm not sure. That's why I probably defer to Ethan. I also want to mention that we do have, I believe they acknowledge themselves, press on the line as well, at least one person. I don't know if there's any additional. So that's also going to be another avenue that's going to get some of these this information out as well.
Okay.
Ethan, do you have any additional input?
Dr. Passion, Lisa is correct that the board supervisor can only take action through amendment, motion, ordinance, or resolution. And it would be enough for Lisa to, as she suggested earlier, introduce this during her liaison assignment update to the Board of Supervisors. That would be sufficient in my mind.
Would it be too much to ask Lisa to ask the Board of Supervisors to say that they agree with our guidelines, or?
Well, yeah, they have to take action through one of those mechanisms, through a motion or a resolution or an ordinance, and I don't.
It's not going to be an ordinance. Yeah.
Right. It won't be an ordinance. It's not going to be a resolution. I would just think it's enough to introduce it liaison assignment, and they can have a kind of a little discussion about it. They can, she can update, and they can talk about it.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Okay, well, I think that's kind of our choices at this point. I'm not very good at things like Facebook or getting this stuff out on social media, but I know of people who are much better than I am. Stephanie, where will this be found again?
So it'll be after the edits are done. I can send it to Leanne Harder. She's our outreach coordinator for the county, and she can post it to Story County's Facebook page and also Twitter.
Okay. All right. Okay. Great. And could you let us know when that happens, like when that's out?
Yes, I will.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. All right. So, do we have any other comments? I'm going to call for comments now. We have any comments from the staff? Stephanie?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay. Any comments from any other board members? John Kluge?
No comment.
Okay. Molly Lee?
None.
Okay. Louisa?
No comment.
Mark?
I have nothing.
And I have nothing either. So I'd like to entertain a motion for adjournment.
John, before you do that, could you have a little discussion as to what plans the board has made for a plan for testing and contact tracing? That would seem to be urgent with the students coming back in less than 5 weeks.
I just offer that that's not on the agenda for tonight. The agenda is set. That's not on for discussion or consideration.
Yeah. But also to be quite honest, Senator Kornbach, that is actually something that the Department of Health does, which is a different entity than what we are doing here today. And Les White is the one who actually is coordinating those efforts along with the state to do that. Am I correct on that, Les?
Yes, currently we are working with Iowa Department of Public Health to manage that. And I will also add that we are working with Iowa State University in relationship to their plans for when the students return in regards to testing as well as contact tracing.
All right. Okay. So back to a motion for adjournment. Do I hear one?
So moved.
John, second?
Second.
Okay, Louisa. Okay. Any other discussions? Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Motion. Meeting's adjourned. Guys, thank you very much for the effort you put into this. Okay? All right. Okay, good night.